Nationals pulling out all the stops. Trotting out a Stanley Cup champion, Alexander Ovechkin. He's a southpaw. Threw a strike to Adam Eaton.
2-2, and Pham throws this one. Deep left center. 1-0 Rays.
The right-hander kicks, delivers. Zim swings and drives one to deep center field. Way back goes Bellinger. To the warning track. To the wall. It is gone. Goodbye. Bang. Some goes in field. It's a three-run home run for the Z-Man.
D-right three. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Well, Mr. Burns had done it. The power plant had won it. With Roger Clemens clucking all the while. Mike Socia's tragic illness made
hey, anytime you can use a Simpsons song, it's a good day. Welcome in on the Mac Attack. That's right. No complaining about baseball and juice balls. We will leave that and put it to the wayside. We will. We will. Because it's all about the chase for the championship. American League Championship Series, halfway filled out. We'll find out who they play, and I say they, the Yankees, tomorrow. But today, all about the National League. Speaking of today, not even just today, about right meow. Borrow a line from one of the best movies of the 2000s. Shout out Super Troopers. Right meow at 2:02. Theoretically, first pitch going down between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves. Cards running out. Jake Flaherty and Braves running out. A guy with the last name that still plagues me, even though I use him on MLB The Show. He's a damn fine pitcher. Mike Foltynewicz. I know I butchered that. I'm never going to get it right. He's going to be in for the Braves. They're getting underway shortly, and then coming up in the nightcap, Nationals at Dodgers in a huge pitching showdown, Steven Strasburg versus Walker Buehler. So, that is going to be fun to follow. We're not going to touch on it, preview it too much today. We got the Knights to get to. We also have coming up at the end of the show, Ray Seffo, former K-1 world champion, Las Vegas local, trains down there at Extreme Couture, but he's also higher up at the PFL, the Professional Fighters League, which is what we had on two weeks ago. We had Randy Couture on talking about it. Well, the PFL is here in town this Friday out at the Mandalay Bay as they kick off their postseason. Two fights for one person in the same night. So the tournament format is back. PFL is bringing it here to Vegas, and we got Ray Seffo coming up at the end of the show to talk about it. But we're going to talk about the Knights. And you know what else we're going to talk about, Magnum? Because this story just doesn't seem to go away. China and the NBA.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's one of those things that, well, until I believe the dust settles from it, which could be months from now, because the fallout is, and now you're starting to see a lot of people from overseas starting to question the way the NBA has handled this. I see, you know, I have a lot of friends in Taiwan. I live there.
Right.
So I have a lot of friends.
Well, your kid is my
son,
Taiwanese.
Half Taiwanese. Yeah. Not Chinese, Taiwanese. I like to point that out. And, you know, a lot of people are talking, and they're basically, I guess, upset the way the NBA is handling it. You know, it's weird. You have people politically in this country who don't agree at all on anything, yet this has kind of brought them together
into the
way the NBA has gone about doing this. And David Silver, he looked like a weasel yesterday, squirming in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And I call him David Silver. Adam Silver.
Well, it's a combination, right?
David Stern, Adam Silver. And I like Adam Silver because he's very progressive. I like the fact that he's very pro-gay rights, which for me is something that I believe in. And, you know, I like the way he has handled. And the problem, though, is, like I said yesterday, you can't promote free speech when it attacks things that you know your audience agree with you on.
Mm-hmm. Your main audience.
Yeah.
Not the audience you're trying to procure. In Asia.
Yes, right. Exactly. Like they have no problem with Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich eviscerating Donald Trump. Now, I may agree with them, but that doesn't mean that I agree with the way that they handle this either.
Right.
And I think, you know, you set a really bad precedent when you tell your coaches and players, it's all right to destroy and rip the president of the United States, But when you speak out on something that's going to cost us hundreds of millions of dollars, we're going to come down on you. To me, that's not right. That's not the way you do it. And there's a lot of people who agree with me on both sides of the aisle.
Well, not only is it being felt over in China, the censorship, it is also being felt here in the States. Let's go.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Round one, fight.
Going back to baseball before we get to NBA real quick. We got to get Mark Seidel on the show. First producer of the Mac Attack. I reached out to him. I don't know. I don't know if he's ignoring me. I don't know if he misses Vegas so much he just can't bear to answer his phone and to come on his show. But or maybe he's just nervous about his Astros. That could be it too. I mean, I get it. I get it. I wouldn't want to lose to the Tampa Bay Rays. That'd be terrible. All right. First pitch underway. St. Louis and Atlanta. We're not going to do play-by-play here, but runner on second for St. Louis. One out. We're underway. Someone's going home. So, China in the NBA. As you said, Magnum, this is a story that is not slowing down. In fact, it's ramping up. I think it's going to continue in that trajectory. Wouldn't you agree?
Unfortunately, yeah. It seems to be going that direction.
Right. More attention being paid. It's now becoming a global issue. People like Steve Kerr, whether you believe or what he said a couple days ago, he had to be more informed before he spoke on it. Okay, well, you've had 48 hours, Steve. Now we'd like to have your opinion.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, is people are getting more informed. So people are going to start having more opinions on this, and this isn't going to be an issue that dies down now.
Well, that's you know, there was something that Silver said yesterday in that second clip we played where he talked about conversation. And now I think people who probably weren't aware, because let's be honest, not every single person in this country who likes the NBA was aware of what was going on in Hong Kong.
Oh, God, no.
And yeah. I mean, I know people who don't follow the NBA who really had no idea what was going on in Hong Kong until this story broke.
I knew progressive people had no idea what was going on.
Because the media, I mean, I'm not going to blame the media, but there's so many things going on in this country.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
If we have a top 10 list, I don't know if China and Hong Kong cracks the top 10.
But the reality is, what's going on in Hong Kong, and people could believe me or not, but what's going on in Hong Kong has a very large effect on the United States.
Well, no question.
Because we're dealing with economics. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with freedom, democracy. We're dealing with... shipping.
We're dealing with influence.
Yes,
Chris.
Well, that's the
bottom line,
the very
right?
big point.
Right,
yes,
right. Influence. The influence of China, not just on America, which in the case of the NBA, yes, that's what we're talking about. On a global scale, though, they are forcing all sorts of hands across the globe. Right.
Yeah.
Forcing people into silence, quelling conversation. Look no further than ESPN.
Well,
ESPN has apparently been issued an edict, at least the employees of ESPN. There is a report out that there were communications amongst employees from the higher-ups to essentially not give an opinion on the actual happenings in Hong Kong and China. Their personal opinion. Report on it, because actually
Rachel Nichols is in Shanghai.
Well, a bunch of them are.
Yeah.
You've got, I think, Amin is over there. The whole NBA Jump crew is over there. A lot of the NBA people, as you mentioned, Rachel Nichols, they're doing their set over there. Now, interestingly enough, it's been fun the last couple of days, or not fun, but entertaining to watch them kind of balance. You can see it in the back of their head, like when they should or shouldn't talk about something, and the way they kind of navigate around it. It's uncomfortable, and I think it highlights exactly where we're at. Like, this is Disney. Disney's like, we don't, you know, bottom dollar. They did this with Trump, though, too. But again.
Yeah, well, how much money does Disney get a year from China? How much investment is there from
stupid money
billionaires in China?
Yeah. Infinite.
I mean, I find it a little hypocritical in a lot of ways that these companies are American companies, and yet they're willing to sacrifice American values.
I'll say this. We run into real dangerous ground here when we talk about China business and America because of what shoes are you wearing right now?
Well, I'm wearing Vans.
Okay, well,
who had
helps.
Their own issue with China recently.
Oh, didn't they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got a New Era hat on.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm wearing
Actually, I think it's everything is made in China.
I was just saying, I'm wearing Adidas. I'm pretty
sure
they're
made in
China. Yeah, yep. So as we sit here and we talk about how dare this company do business in China in silence, okay, we understand that the stage is murky, right? It is clouded. There is a shadow hanging over it. There's a lot of hypocrisy going around, certainly enough for everyone involved. As I said, you're speaking into a microphone expressing my concerns. There's a bit of hypocrisy there because, as I mentioned, I'm wearing Adidas shoes and all that, right? But this is different. This is a government on the world stage telling players, an association, a league, everyone, that they don't align, their opinions don't align with our idea of free speech. When your opinions dissent from the current political landscape, we don't want anything to do with it. We think that is not free speech, right? So now it's becoming an ideological difference, and they're playing into it. That's one thing when we, you know, bitch and moan and kvetch about where our clothes are made or getting on our high horse, whatever the case may be, which doesn't matter what side you're on. China doesn't jump in on that. China, that's old hat.
Yeah.
This is China addressing the issue and making this a pretty big story. Now, it's been a big story over in China. Huge story over in China. Now, we're talking about it more over here. Look no further than the city of Philadelphia, right? The city of brotherly love, our first capital, the Liberty Bell, Rocky, I'm just going to start naming off.
Yeah. Independence
Randall,
Hall.
Randall Cunningham.
Yes.
Julius Erving. No, but I think I set the scene, right? You're talking about one of the true great cities of American democracy, historically speaking. Apparently at a game on Tuesday, there were two Chinese fans in attendance. Now, these two, I would imagine, I believe they're Chinese, I'm judging.
Yeah.
But they're also holding signs, which makes me kind of be in line with that thinking. They seem to be from China, at the very least Chinese. They're holding signs that say Free Hong Kong and Free HK. They are neon green cutouts. They are not large signs. They don't seem to be disruptive. They seem very, I mean, it's only a picture. But, I mean, look, I'll show you the picture. There's no one around them.
Yeah, it's free Hong Kong, free HK. Hong Kong.
Right, right.
The woman with the mask on definitely looks to be Chinese.
Yep, and there's no one really around them. No one seems to be paying attention. They're just holding them up, making a statement, right? Turns out, and this was a game I should preface, the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Guangzhou Lun.
Okay, Guangzhou.
Guangzhou Lun.
Yep.
Lions. So it was a Chinese team versus the 76ers in Philly. Those fans were removed.
Wow.
From the building in Philly.
That's wow.
Now, the 76ers have come out and made a statement. Here's the statement. At last evening's game, following multiple complaints from guests and verbal confrontations with others in attendance, two individuals were warned by Wells Fargo Center staff about their continuing disruption of the fan experience. Ultimately, the decision was made by Wells Fargo Center personnel to remove the guests from the premises, which was accomplished without incident.
I don't believe them.
I don't either.
I don't believe that it was a disturbance. I don't believe that there were people complaining. I believe it was done. Well, because they didn't want it to get out that they were okay with that they had allowed this to transpire, right? Because we've already seen the blowback with Daryl Morey.
Mm-hmm.
So now if the 76ers allow these people to stay at the game, word will get back to China, and China will say, hey, wait a minute. Now this is two. You know, unfortunately, the NBA, and I mentioned Vans, you mentioned ESPN, we talked about the movies yesterday, even Tiffany and company had to remove a photograph of a woman covering her eye as she was being proposed to because the Chinese people or the Chinese government felt that that was some kind of message about Hong Kong because she covered her right eye. And months ago, there was a woman at these protests who was shot in her eye.
Right.
And so she was covering her eye. Even that, which probably had absolutely nothing to do with Hong Kong.
Are we fighting a winless battle? I mean, I'm coming here the last couple of days and saying, look at the influence that China has on the world and America. What is going on? We should not. Is that just...
Well,
are they the world superpower that many think they are? And
well, they are.
Is their influence that deep? Whereas this is just the new normal where we just have to answer to China?
I think it is for a variety of reasons. A, because greed is more powerful than morality. Money takes precedent over doing the right thing. And it's not the NBA. It's not Hollywood. It's just the way it is all over the world in every single country on this planet. Money talks.
So the fan, the two fans that were ejected, Sam Wachs, W-A-C-H-S, and his wife held up the signs that read Free Hong Kong and Free HK during the 76ers game against the Chinese team. Wachs told NBC 10 in Philly that security guards confiscated the signs before ejecting the couple in the second quarter after Wachs shouted Free Hong Kong. Now, they confiscated the signs. So that's what really, I mean, they're paying attention to begin with. They didn't like the signs. That right there, confiscating the signs, I have a problem with.
Yeah.
Why? This is America.
Yeah.
I really hate coming on the airwaves every single day, at least the last couple of days, and be like, this is America.
Yeah.
No, it is. Like, unless it's like vulgar or it is racist.
Yeah. Now, if they had, I would imagine if they showed up with signs that said, I stand with China. I would imagine a little bit of a different story would have
now
played
out. Now I just want to go to like a Clippers game and just test that theory.
Yeah, hold this, hold up a sign that says, yeah. I stand with China?
Yeah.
You should too?
Yeah. Yeah, just something very simple. See if you get away with it. I think it would say everything just one time.
Yeah.
If nothing happens, you sit in the lower level. If nothing happens, and you got your answer.
You kind of prove it.
Yep. So the continuing narrative of China and NBA rolls on. I have a huge issue with this.
By the way, your boy... Alphabet Soup did not last more than a third of an inning.
Oh, my God. I did say I wasn't going to do a play-by-play. Well, Fulton Awich, as I butcher his name, he's out. You just said it.
One third of an inning.
I believe I saw no outs. And
no, there's one out.
One out, yeah. 4-0, bases loaded, Cardinals steamrolling Atlanta early. Sorry, Braves fans. Probably not what you wanted to hear if you're driving around and you're not getting ears on the game yet. Wow. All right, so back to the NBA in China. Yeah, I clearly have issue with fans getting ejected. I have even more issue with Philadelphia saying it was a disruption on the court, where just 3 years ago, I believe, if my timeline is correct, you had crazy racist Dr. Dennis guy who flipped the double bird to Russell Westbrook in the middle of the game, screaming profanities and turning purple.
Yeah.
Now, I believe he was ejected and he suffered ramifications, mm-hmm. right? But the buildup to that, you're talking about Philly, man. You're telling me the Chinese lady here and her husband in the masks with the small neon sign that say, stand whatever free HK and stand with Hong Kong, whatever the case, whatever the signs exactly said,
yeah.
You're telling me they were more disruptive than your 99.9 of your average Philadelphia fan? I cannot buy that. I will not buy that.
Well, and the crazy thing is, China has declared war on the West. Whether or not we want to accept that or not, they have.
They're flexing their muscle.
And they've done so without ever firing a shot.
Yeah.
They've gotten into the most powerful positions in our country outside of government, but they control as you mentioned, Hollywood. Obviously, they now have a huge influence over the NBA. Who knows what other sporting leagues? I mean, what's to say the NFL doesn't decide to open up to China?
Well, how about this one? Gaming giant Blizzard? The company Blizzard?
Yes.
I believe they were the company behind World of Warcraft.
I just read that this morning, actually.
Yeah. Many other popular games. Blizzard is a monster in the gaming world. They have suspended a Hearthstone player, which is a game that they produce, a Hearthstone player. They have pulled his prize money that he has won as a professional gamer, all for supporting Hong Kong on a stream.
That's insane.
His name is Ing Wai. He goes by Blitz Chung. That's his handle.
Ing Wai, so Chinese name.
Yep, Ing Wai. Blitz Chung is his name on Hearthstone, whatever the game is. And he has had his money taken, his funds taken, and his account suspended because he showed support for Hong Kong.
Wow.
Democracy, freedom of speech, Blizzard.
Yeah.
Now, I do a quick Google search here. I'm going to bet bottom dollar that Blizzard is an American company.
Probably. I mean, it seems like it would be.
Irvine.
Yep, Irvine, California, right down the street from us, basically.
Yep. Subsidiary of Activision.
I am actually curious, as I think about this, what the general sentiment is in Las Vegas. Because we have, obviously, a huge population of Chinese here.
Absolutely.
Now, like I mentioned before, my son, Taiwanese, we know a lot of Taiwanese families. But there's a lot of people from Canton, which is the region where Hong Kong basically is. They speak a different dialect than the rest of mainland China. Mainland China speaks Mandarin. Down in Canton, they speak Cantonese. Hong Kong is part of that Canton region, but it's split. Guangzhou is part of mainland China. Hong Kong is Hong Kong.
Okay.
Now, you go to a lot of these restaurants in Las Vegas, a lot of them are owned and operated by Cantonese. Which is
so
why
so theoretically the support here in Vegas should be ample.
But the weird thing is, because Canton is divided into Hong Kong and then mainland China, you may have a lot of people from Guangzhou who also live here and operate those restaurants. So I almost wonder if it's causing a little bit of a divide in workplaces that are operated by Chinese, because I mean it's obviously an issue that is affecting now the world.
And now more people are paying attention to it.
A lot more people are paying attention.
Now it's went pop cultural.
Yeah.
Now it's become something bigger than just politics.
Now
boring politics and human rights violations.
But like, I mean, the Top Gun thing you mentioned yesterday, right? That wasn't really a big deal, right? Like, it was a big deal to people who were paying attention, but most people didn't even notice.
We did.
But this is a huge deal now because the NBA is involved. I mean, the NBA is arguably... Well, I don't even think there's a debate about it, right? It's the second largest league in the States.
I was saying the world.
Yeah, I mean the NBA is global, right? I mean, you have, and the real curious thing for me is Jeremy Lin, right? He's no longer in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the Raptors last year, won an NBA title. He's Taiwanese, so I believe he's actually playing in mainland China now.
Outside of Yao Ming, the most famous Asian player to ever step foot on hardwood?
Is Jeremy Lin?
Has to be.
I mean, Lin Sanity.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks, that was the biggest thing in the world.
So I go back to Uncle Ben, right? From Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
Where are you at, Jeremy Lin? Where's everyone at on this?
I think Jeremy Lin, who's dealt with a lot of issues, he's kind of being quiet about it.
Well, he's clearly got the education. Harvard grad.
Yeah. Bay Area guy.
He's got the perspective, obviously, as you mentioned, being an Asian American. Very interesting.
I think he plays in China, so maybe he's not going to bite the hand that feeds him.
Well, he's got millions of dollars. He should be just fine. Oh, Braves fans, I'm sorry to break it to you. Your season's over.
He plays for the Beijing Ducks, by the way.
Does he? Yeah. Season.
Oh, my goodness.
Season over for the Braves.
9-run first inning,
Yeah.
Yikes.
Now, I was at, if I will say this, Braves fans, all hope is not lost. When A-Rod was going for his 500 home runs in the summer of 2008, I went to a Yankees-White Sox game in August. A-Rod was stuck at 499. It was a 9-run second inning, top of the second for the Chicago White Sox. Yankees turned around in the bottom of the second and hit 9 runs as well. So it was 9-9 after the second. Longest full inning, I believe, still in Yankee history. That may have changed in the last 11 years. So, I mean, I won't be hyperbolic and say your season's over. Crazier things have happened, but just prepare yourself. 9-0 St. Louis. Still one out. Top of the first inning. My God. And they're bringing in another pitcher. This will be their third pitcher in the first inning. My goodness. All right, we're going to put a plug on that because, well, why? Well, the Vegas Golden Knights went out last night. They had themselves a game. It was a fun game. It was a high-scoring game. But the lasting feelings might not be of fun. Knights drop a tough one to what I would imagine is one of the best teams in hockey. Obviously, it's early in the season, but defending Eastern Conference champions in the Boston Bruins, and they were flying around the ice last night. Was it due to a lack of Nate Schmidt? I don't know. We'll talk about it next, coming back on the nightcap here on the Mac Attack.
Glass finds it again. In front, Pacioretty feeds Stone. Score! Mark Stone, power play goal. 1-0 Golden Knights. set up. Pacioretty in front. The extra dish. Stone buried it from the right side. Riley Smith reached in. Just missed at the right post. Callum's into the right corner. Centering feed. Smith scores! Far down! What a centering pass from the right wall. Smith was there and waiting in the middle from the lower hash mark. Buries it over the blocker of Tuukka Rask. Knights lead 2-0. Right wing Hagee. Shoots! Score! It was tipped in front. They're going to say no goal. Waved off. Played by a high stick.
Yes.
It was played too high. Right between the hash marks by Jonathan Marchessault. And here's Glass, the left goal line. Dished across to Pacioretty, but it was broken up. Left wall for Stone. Stone had that power play goal back in the first. Right wing shot. Score! It's Max Pacioretty! Power play goal for the Knights. It's a one-goal game with 5:18 to play.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Well, those are the highlights from last night. Knights lose 4-3, but it certainly wasn't due to lack of trying. They were in it till the very end. They had to pull Fleury. They made a decent run of it. They just couldn't get it done. Boston was flying around on the ice. I've had a couple eyes on them now. I saw them in the Winter Classic when I went back over January last year. Saw them play the Blackhawks as well. But I'm talking about Brad Marchand. I understand that people don't like him. I understand that he's a nuisance and he can be dirty at times. And he gets hungry out there sometimes on the ice and he likes to lick people's faces. I get it. But he is amazing as a hockey player. His speed, his vision, his release. That guy is one of the most underrated hockey players in the entire game. I think for the reasons I just mentioned is he is so hated. People tend to focus on the controversy. He was a big reason, almost had a hat trick a couple of times last night. He ended up with 2 goals, but a big reason as to why Boston won last night. Brad Marchand flying all over the ice and making things happen. Now, why did the Knights lose? Well, they're going to lose. They're not going 82-0. We know that. But, Magnum, I think it was pretty clear throughout the majority of that game last night, the absence of Nate Schmidt was felt in spades.
Yeah, and you know, Boston, as you mentioned, really good team. I actually bet them after I saw them play here. They came here in March last year. I think it was March, and beginning of March. And I bet them to win the Stanley Cup at that point because I said, of all the teams I've seen, they were the most complete and they were the best team. Now, yeah, they didn't win the Stanley Cup.
Almost did.
But they are really good. And Patrice Bergeron, I just decided to focus on him when he was on the ice.
So you were on Bergeron and I was on Marchand.
He is an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
And Pasternak,
nah,
the speed of that guy.
He is so fast, especially with his frame.
Yes, because he's not a small guy.
No, he's not small. I'd say, 6'6"?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big, I mean, he's a big guy.
He carries himself well, too.
That team is loaded.
They are.
They're deep defensively. Zdeno Chara is fantastic still at 42 years old.
I could easily see this being a Stanley Cup matchup.
I would not be shocked.
Yeah,
and I said to a friend of mine last night, I said, would you be shocked if the Golden Knights and the Boston Bruins were in the Final Four? I would not be in the least.
Not in the least.
If this was a preview, and it's a shame it happened so early.
Yeah.
But if this was a preview of the Stanley Cup Final, sign me up.
Well, it's a shame that it happened so early, and it's a shame that it happened without Eakin, Tuck, and Schmidt. Now,
yes.
I talk about the loss of Schmidt. That was pretty evident last night when, and Gallant talked about this postgame, in terms of turnovers being a huge reason as to why the Knights couldn't get things going last night because they were just making too many mistakes. And a lot of those mistakes, at least from what I saw, Magnum, and a lot of them happened on my side of the ice,
yeah,
at my Section 18. Just miscommunication.
Well,
running,
yes,
into each other, not knowing where to dump the puck, trying to pass the puck in a frenzy, and then getting picked off and turning it into a couple goals, actually.
Yeah. Well,
happened that way.
Defensively, the Golden Knights defenseman could not move the puck up.
Well, and Nate Schmidt's the quarterback.
And you know, Brayden McNabb is not, that's not his role.
Nope.
So to expect him to do that is unfair because Brayden is a stay-at-home defenseman.
Yep.
Nick Hague is very young.
If it's anyone, it's Shea.
Yes, and yeah. Shea Theodore did not have.
No, he didn't.
In fact, I would venture to say that in 3 years of watching Shea Theodore, that's probably the worst game I've ever seen him play.
I mean, but it would make sense, right? That you're coming into the season, you're not thinking Schmidt's going down in game freaking
10 minutes into the first period.
Right? Yeah. You're not thinking that. And
no.
I think it was masked
by the deficiencies of the San Jose Sharks, which we can get to throughout the next couple
of
weeks.
Well, and let's be real.
Still winless.
Boston is probably one of the top two or three teams in the Eastern Conference.
They are. You know what shocked me about last night more than anything? The fact that the Knights came out, put two quick goals in, and then gave up the win.
Well, then they went into cruise control, it seemed like.
It did.
But maybe they did that because Boston just took over the game, and that's what it looked like.
Exactly. I don't think I would never peg this Golden Knights team as a team to ever put anything
because
on cruise control.
Because you still saw Marchessault, right. Carlson, and Smith flying around.
Marchessault had a play where he took it end-to-end, and he just – you know the play I'm talking about. I think it came in the third. He took the entire team on his back and tried to will a goal. Yeah. And it didn't work, but the effort was there. I think it's more to what you said. The Boston Bruins just – a fire got lit underneath them, and after that first 10 minutes – so it is a 60-minute game.
Yeah, they didn't panic at all.
For 10 minutes of the game, the Vegas Golden Knights were the best team on the ice.
Yeah.
For the other 50, it was all Boston.
And let's be honest, the high stick, right call.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't even close.
No, I saw that live. I didn't even get out of my seat.
Yeah, I was like, high stick.
I didn't even get out of my seat.
But I think we'll have a better idea. You know, tomorrow night, they play Arizona in Phoenix. Then they come home Saturday. They play Calgary. And then Sunday, they're in Los Angeles. But without Nate Schmidt, you don't really know.
Yep.
I think you know, but you don't know.
We got a glimpse of it last year. They were sub 500 team.
They were 8-12 without him.
Yeah.
Then he came back. They reeled off a bunch of wins in a row.
Yeah. It's not a coincidence, man.
Yeah.
Especially when we talked about going into this season, there isn't a lot of deficiencies or a lot of things you can point to the Vegas Golden Knights and say, hey, that's a weakness. If there was anything you could point to, it was the blue line.
Yeah.
And now you've lost your best blue liner.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to Shea or anyone else on that.
No, line. I mean, but I think when you have certain guys who fulfill a certain role, and look, it's not just Golden Knights. If Drew Doughty went down for the Kings, their season is awful.
Yeah.
Every team has that guy. If Mark Giordano was to get hurt for Calgary, I mean, he's a Norris Trophy winning defenseman. Every team has that quarterback to play on the blue line. The guy who his job is to move the puck through the zone, get it up to the forwards, and put them in position to score.
And to quarterback that defense. Yeah. I think that's something that doesn't get talked about. Like people think that the goaltender. No, the goaltender can't communicate. The goaltender isn't a part of the team in that way. The goaltender is very much on an island.
Yeah,
why goaltenders never wear a C. That's why they are never a captain of any team.
Yeah.
For that exact reason, because you need to be among the chaos. And there was no one better than Nate Schmidt at thriving in that chaos. Good news as we talk about injuries and Nate Schmidt. I think you saw this, Chapman, earlier today. Cody Eakin makes his return to the practice.
Yeah, he was wearing the light blue jersey, so that's non-contact, but he is close. My guess is generally from when I've seen that, probably about 3 or 4 days, which means maybe against the Kings on Sunday night, Cody Eakin
maybe
would be able to return, which makes me wonder what now happens to Cody Glass. Because
he has to. Hey, listen.
I almost think
he has to stay.
You have to question and wonder, is it possible that he could play the wing? Because maybe you move Stastny back up to that second line with Pacioretty and Stone.
I don't want that.
Eakin, could Eakin play the wing with Stastny as the center?
Maybe.
I mean, that's what you have to start to. If you're Gerard Gallant, you have to start to tinker. But I don't want to see Cody Glass.
I want to see Cody Glass right where he is.
Yeah, I don't want to see him removed from the lineup. I don't want to see him move down.
Max Pacioretty, Mark Stone, and Cody Glass has been the best line by far, in my opinion, that the Vegas Golden Knights have rolled out through three games.
Now, you have a guy who could win the Selke, and then you have a guy who's a 30-goal scorer.
Yep.
So that was the best place to put Cody Glass. And Paul Stastny is such a great team player that he swallows his pride and says, you know what, I will do whatever you want me to do to help this team be better.
Actually, I was with Stastny. They did a Vegas Golden Knights fan appreciation event over at the High Roller.
Oh, yeah. I saw pictures of that.
Yeah, and we got stuck with Paul Stastny. It was great. He was great. One of our best players, right?
Yes.
I should say Paul Stastny got stuck with us because someone, you know, you're in the pods at the High Roller, and a fan goes up to him, shakes his hand, and says, Paul, we love having you here in Vegas. Really appreciate you being a team player and playing wherever the team needs you. And he was like, right on. It's just kind of like, he was like, man, yes, I do my job, but you can see how he is willing to swallow his pride and how I'm sure it does bother him, but he is capable of doing that. And Glass, we just don't know how good he is. And I want to find out how good he is amongst that line because they have been flying around the ice. Now, you mentioned we're going to head to break here real quickly, come back with Ray Cepho of the Professional Fighters League. But one final note on the Knights, William Karlsson playing with an injury.
Yeah, we don't know what. And I started to wonder about it last night when he wasn't taking faceoffs. Yeah.
When you see Jonathan Marchessault taking faceoffs.
And I also started to wonder about it when William Karlsson wasn't shooting.
Yeah.
There was a moment where he passed to William Carrier. And you're like, that's really strange. So
talking about the breakaway?
Yeah, two on one. He passed it to Carrier instead of shooting.
I remember that.
So I went back and looked at it, and I knew he left the San Jose preseason game. Not the second one that was here, the first one in San Jose. He left that game for an undisclosed reason. So I started to wonder if maybe he blocked a shot, maybe he got injured. I haven't been able to go back and watch it, but his face-off numbers have gone down progressively since that game. So today, Coach Gallant did say that he didn't say what, but he said something's not right, and that's why Marchessault is taking the faceoffs, and it's not ideal, but this is the way you have to do it when this is your first line. And, you know, Karlsson obviously fighting through it, guy who has not missed a game in two full seasons with this team. But, yeah, something's not right, and people picked up on it, and now we're starting to see why Marchessault's taking those faceoffs.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it. Obviously not great news, but hopefully something Karlsson can play through and get on the other side of that and get healthy. Speaking of getting on the other side of it, coming up next here on the Mac Attack, K-1 champion, PFL, Professional Fighter League president, Sugarfoot, Ray Cepho, coming up next. Keep it locked.
The Mac Attack returns. You're listening to the Mac Attack.
All right, coming up in just 2 days out at the Mandalay Bay, the PFL, the Professional Fighters League, start their playoff year right here in the Valley. Going to be tournament style. You can catch it on TV on ESPN+ or ESPN2. But why can you do that when you can just go down to Mandalay Bay yourself? Check it out here live in Las Vegas and to talk about this event and to talk about the PFL and all things MMA. We head out to the phone lines, join up with our buddy, former K-1 champ, one of the greatest kickboxers in the history of combat sports, Sugarfoot, Ray Cepho. Ray, how you doing, pal?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Man, I'm doing really well. I'm excited. I mean, anytime. I mean, listen, we have a lot of mixed martial arts in Las Vegas, but you know the company that's usually doing the business here in the Valley. It kind of is changing, and that's a good thing. Competition breeds momentum. It breeds passion. It lights a fire, right? But more specifically about competition, the real cool thing about PFL touching down in the Valley, and Ray, we had Randy Couture on a couple weeks ago to talk about it, what the PFL is doing with the one-night tournament, kind of going a little old school. It has MMA fans and combat sports fans excited, and rightfully so.
No, absolutely. You know, again, I'm a product of this format, and I love it, and I love the fact that all the fans are really enjoying the PFL from last year's playoffs to this year's. I think it's going to be fireworks.
Absolutely. And when you talk about fireworks, it is going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting because one of the things that the PFL does that no one else does is that at the end of this proverbial rainbow, the winner of these multiple tournaments, because you are doing it in various weights, right? Weight classes, $1 million to each winner.
That is correct. Yes.
That's exciting. Now, I know you went through a similar format, but you also are very well aware. I know you do training at Extreme Couture. That type of payday, that's not necessarily easy to find in the sport of mixed martial arts.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, it just gives everybody the opportunity to, the equal opportunity to basically earn, you know, become a millionaire at the end of the year, at the end of the season. I mean, obviously that's on top of what they make throughout the regular season. So, you know, a lot of these fighters that go home, you know, for example, our champions from last year, overall, they made throughout the year probably $1.2 million to $1.3 million, which is, a great payday for any fighter, for that matter. And the great thing about the PFL is that opportunity is to all the top top fighters that's in per division.
All right, so if you're looking for tickets, and I mentioned it is going to be out, the PFL playoffs start this Friday in Vegas at Mandalay Bay. You can go out and you can get tickets at PFLMMA.com. That's PFLMMA.com. And not only are they going to be here this Friday, the playoffs continue on the 17th. That's a Thursday, and also on Halloween, October 31st, which is also going to be continuation of the playoffs. This format, Ray, it's exciting for a lot of reasons. I mentioned the $1 million, but it's also a format where new stars can rise, and the PFL has plenty of stars. I know you have Kayla Harrison. Why don't you tell our listeners about some of the names and some of the characters they should be watching out for over the next few weeks here in Vegas?
Yeah, absolutely. Kayla Harrison is obviously, fighting for the first time. Just because it's the first time that a 155 division for women has actually been created, and so these women will be, will also be competing for not only the 155 world title belt, but also for $1 million. And then you have the welterweight, the featherweight, which is Lance Palmer, who was the champion from last year. Again, obviously he's looking to repeat again this year, but a lot of the other guys, the other seven guys, you got something to say about him. Then you have the lightweight, which Nathan Schulte was the champion last year. Welterweight, Magomedov was the champion last year.
Right.
Of course, the light heavyweight this year is up in the air because Sean O'Connor, who won it last year, has retired from the combat world in terms of competing, but now he's one of our commentators, and so. And then the heavyweight division is also up this year. So, I mean, it's exciting. And like you said, this actually really builds a lot of talent. And, again, one of the great things about this is that it gives, it puts the opportunity in the fighter's hands, because when you continue to win, you continue to move forward. Fight twice, win twice, you're going to $1 million.
We're here with Ray Sefo, former K-1 champion, all-world kickboxing star, now the president of the PFL, and also a Kiwi. He is from New Zealand. Now, Ray, the reason I bring that up, and maybe you can see where I'm going here, just this Saturday in Australia, your countryman, Israel Adesanya, went out and absolutely, I don't want to say shocked the world, but I mean, he's only been in the UFC for a year and a half. He's meeting Robert Whittaker in his home country. He goes over there, Ray, and he takes care of business in just two rounds. A star in the making, no question. A star right now. Damn the making. What do you know about Israel, and what type of character and star do you think he can be in MMA?
Oh, I think Israel is a massive talent. He's definitely going to be a star. He's outspoken. But he's one of these guys that talks the talk and walks the walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think he's got a very bright future in the UFC, in MMA, overall. But listen, Robert Whittaker, funny enough, Robert Whittaker was born in New Zealand and ended up migrating to Australia, and Australia's home for him now. But, it's just so good to see, who would ever think that
right.
You would have two Kiwi guys the UFC title, and so for me that makes me proud as well. And so, but in terms of Adesanya, he trains with one of my former teammates guy that I also helped coach throughout the K-1 thing when he won K-1 USA, Doug Minnie, Eugene, who's obviously a great coach as well, and they run the City Kickboxing and probably one of the most successful gyms in New Zealand to date. They're obviously doing some really nice stuff. And, obviously I watched the show, and they had Dan Hooker and Brad, and, all their guys came out on top, and I was happy for them as well. And, their team is in cloud nine right now. But New Zealand and Australia is kind of like so far from everywhere else, but to have those guys put New Zealand and Australia on the map as, world champions in MMA, that's just amazing. truly amazing.
Absolutely, and you said it. You know, you should feel proud, Ray, because if it weren't for you and you know, those Oceania tournaments early on and K1 going down there, I don't know if we have these stars, and I don't know if the UFC is putting on fights down there. So you are a big reason because of that. Ray Sefo, Sugarfoot, buddy, it was nice catching up with you for a few minutes. You got the event going down there. PFL playoffs start in 48 hours out at Mandalay Bay. Professional Fighters League. Ray Sefo, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Ray Sefo. And I mentioned, if you want tickets for the Professional Fighters League, three nights, all right, in 48 hours going down at Mandalay Bay. That's this Friday. But also on the 17th, on a Thursday, and on the 31st, also on a Thursday. You can go out to PFLMMA.com, get your tickets out there. And listen, I talked about it a little bit with Ray, and I talked about it a little bit with Randy Couture a couple weeks ago. This is the return of the one-night tournament. That is not something you see in high-level mixed martial arts anymore. It just doesn't happen. That was something that was built on the backs of, well, really, the company Pride, right? Pride Fighting Championship, Magnum. We were just talking about it. You actually saw the first Pride when they came over to the States here in Vegas in, I believe, 2006.
Yeah, it was about
headlined by Fedor.
10, 12 years ago. Yep. I actually saw both of the Pride events here.
And that was they brought the entertainment, but they also, because that's not something the UFC really does. They don't do the pomp and circumstance. They don't do, like, the flashy walkouts and the dance numbers, although Israel Adesanya actually did a choreographed dance walkout on Saturday against Robert Whittaker, but that's not something they normally do.
Yeah, it was cool. Like I liked the entertainment aspect of it.
Yeah, and they did. Pride was infamous for doing one-night tournaments.
And the woman who was the, I don't want to say she was a ring announcer, but...
Yeah, Lenny Hart.
Awesome.
Yeah, you would be
fantastic.
Clarissa Magnum.
Yes.
Chapman.
That's my best. Lenny Hart.
I always liked the Fedor introduction. From Russia with love.
She was nuts, man. And you know what? She is still killing it. She does various mixed martial arts promotions. Predominantly, I think she lives in Asia. She's just, and for those that don't know,
I think she's Japanese.
No, she's not.
No.
She is a red-haired, pale white lady.
Really?
That does the craziest, like, anime Japanese voice.
Really?
Yeah, she's really cool, though. I met Lenny a couple times. I believe she does work with ONE Championship. The Singaporean?
Is that where it is? Singapore?
That's where they're based.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're having an event in
Singapore. Singapore is awesome, by the way. Fantastic. Wow.
Well, Misha Tate, my co-host over there.
Yeah, I saw her post. She was in Thailand.
She lives in Singapore.
Really?
Well, ONE is based in Singapore.
Okay.
They hired her to be the vice president.
Wow.
So she moved over there.
And maybe we'll have to talk off the air.
Yeah, right? She's actually ONE Championship. Is going to be having an event this weekend on TNT you can tune into.
Yes.
They're going to be in Tokyo. It's called ONE Century, I believe is the name of the event.
That's really cool.
But the return of Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson.
Oh, that's right. I always forget that he left the UFC.
I know. And that's the issue they're going to run into, right?
When competition is good.
It is. It is. And this, as I said, it's going to be on TNT or TBS. Damn it.
The problem is when you have competition, you don't get the best fighters against each other.
Well. You know what's been interesting that's been happening over at ONE is that a guy like Eddie Alvarez, former UFC lightweight champion, right?
Yes.
The guy that Conor McGregor beat just 2 or 3 years ago to take the belt, right?
Yeah.
He went over there, and he has now been beaten in pretty authoritative fashion. And Demetrius Johnson has had some couple difficult fights over there. So,
He was awesome when he was in UFC.
And he still is awesome. And my point is the best fighters in the world aren't necessarily in the UFC. Large majority, yes, they are. I'm just saying, there's a lot of MMA out there, whether it be PFL that's going to be here Friday, which Ray talked about Lance Palmer, Team Alpha Male, Uriah Faber Prodigy. This guy just goes out and swings. He's worth the price of admission alone. But you got them. You got ONE Championship. You have Ryzen over in Japan. There's just a lot of healthy MMA going on right now, as well as pro wrestling and all combat sports. Maybe not boxing. But that's a conversation for another day. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Mac Attack. Full preview of the Vegas Golden Knights taking on the Arizona Coyotes. We'll see you then, friends.